Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. Today, I am so excited to have with me Ms. Rebecca Pierce from Richmond, Virginia. And I know she lives in Midlothian, I believe that's how you pronounce it, but without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring Ms. Rebecca on the line. Rebecca,
hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I am so excited to hear all about your bestseller and what you've been doing. And, you know, we had to catch up from last year. So I want everybody to know that Rebecca is on the line with us. And if you're on Facebook, you can just call in at 1-347-826-7543 if you have a question. And Rebecca's going to tell us all about her new book, what she's doing, and what's happening in 2015. So take it away, Ms. Rebecca.
Well, I'm excited to be here. And yes, since the last book, I have released a new book. In fact, I released it last month. It's called The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman, and it is a historic fiction novel, African-American historic fiction, and it's the story of a former slave, a mulatto woman who makes a fateful decision to come to Richmond, Virginia from Tennessee after the death of her husband, who was also a slave, and to pass as a white woman in order to claim property that her husband and his family have left her. So, you know, she comes to town and she does not tell anyone what she is. She basically lets people assume that she is white. And she tries to basically recreate her life, to start over, to take care of herself in a world, in an environment where, you know, for a woman of any color, it's darn near impossible or it's difficult to, you know, have your own business, to be your own provider, and to, you know, basically be your own person. And so the story, you know, set in Richmond, 1860 to 1862, right at the beginning of the Civil War. And so the piece kind of looks at also how war severely hinders the growth and ability of women and children. So it's a really interesting story. She's trying to avoid the pursuits of a horse breeder, a very wealthy white plantation horse breeder. And she is also having some emotions with a free black man. So we kind of see this character struggle to not only define what she wants to be, what she knows she can be, but also kind of look at what is the role of a male in a woman's relationship at this time, and how the law often disrespect and probably the law at that time really didn't consider women to be citizens of the United States of America, and so therefore to own property or to have monies of your own was almost kind of illegal. You had to hand over your property and your money once you married in these states in America. So we kind of look at this pull that she has between, do I want to continue to be my own woman, or do I want to, you know, get back involved in a relationship? But if I do, you know, what will they think when they find out what I am? So it's a really interesting piece.
And it is interesting, and I don't want to give anything away because I want people to get the book, and I don't want to because I know I'm going to have you back on, and we're going to talk more in depth about it as the weeks and months come in 2015. So for those of you who have not met you yet, can you tell us a little bit about what you do as an author, and you own your own business, and I know it's a few other things that you do. So tell us a little bit about.
Well, I launched, or rather opened in late 2013, my own publishing agency called the Pierce Agency, LLC. And our mission is to really work with aspiring and emerging writers to help prepare their works for publication and or production on the stage. It's for novelists as well as playwrights. So we really try to help you get your product ready to go to the market. And we try to, you know, teach you about branding yourself as a writer, how to use social media to get the word out about your work, but also to gain fans. But how to be a business-minded, because that's what writers need to be today. They need to be business-minded, because gone are the days where a writer could sit alone in a room, lights out or dim light, and type up a story, send it to an agent, mm-hmm. and it gets, you know, put out to the world. No, those days are gone. You as a writer, particularly with self-publishing, you have to be the one to not only write the book, but get the book ready for introduction to the world. So you got to do your own marketing, you got to do your own branding. And so we at the Pierce Agency, we work really hard to not only create a great text as far as the language and structure and format, but also the visual of the book cover, and then really help you create your presence in social media before your book even comes out. So that's kind of what I do, as well as doing my own writing, you know, writing the novel. I also have I'm a playwright as well, so I have a couple things coming up in New York soon, and I've been branching out into screenwriting and have a couple projects coming out with that as well. So I try to hone my skills every day.
Absolutely fabulous. And everybody knows the title of my show is Issues Concerning Women. So when I get the opportunity to read book about women and how they overcame, Miss Lucy really was a businesswoman like you talked about, and
yes.
before her time, you know.
Yes.
So how did you choose this topic to write about? And because I know when people think about being an author, they may have a story in their head, or maybe their grandmother told them a story about,
mm-hmm.
you know, some history, and they kind of form it into a work of art. So
mm-hmm.
how did you develop The Secret Life of Lucy Boston without getting with any, you know, writer secrets?
Well, I'll try not to give it away. Well, first of all, I found the story idea while I was actually doing research for Murder on Second Street, my first historic fiction novel. And I found the story of a mulatto woman in Richmond during the Civil War who was arrested for prostitution. And she was accused of corrupting the morals of white men. And I just remember reading that and thinking, that's a story. That's a story I think I'd like to tell that needs to be told. So the story kind of found me. And then also I teach women's literature. I've taught women's literature. And I've always, you know, I love history. So I wanted to kind of merge this story. I did this actual story account, but kind of put a twist on it as fiction and merge it with history, because, I mean, I love to discuss and help students understand what life was like for women prior to the right to vote, and what were the struggles and the battles to get women to organize, to fight for their rights politically, socially, and economically. So what better character to have that conversation with than one of the most ostracized characters in literature and film, and that is the mulatto. And on a personal note, my grandfather was able to pass. And there's several stories in the family about how he was able to purchase land. And he did that by disguising that he was colored, you know, that people think he was white. So, you know, and there's this big issue also coming down the line within the family about, you know, who gets treated better, the lighter-skinned family members or the darker-skinned family members. So
mm-hmm.
So just looking at all my own personal history and what my profession is and my love of history and education, I thought, this is a great story. Nobody's telling this story. They, you know, the mulatto has always been portrayed as the damsel in distress or the Jezebel. And I said,
mm-hmm.
no, I want to tell this story of a woman who uses her gifts and her skill to recreate a life for herself. She has to lie in order to do that, and that's the problem. Why do people have to lie to get what belongs to them? And that's kind of the crux of the story.
That is so amazing. And one of the parts I love about it, her transitioning from Tennessee to, Virginia, and the struggle, you know, and what she had to go through. And even today, we still have things that we have to overcome as women, African-American
yes.
women, and we still have to pretend and hide behind the mask and be fake
mm-hmm.
so that we can rise above what others say we can't be, you know. But
right.
And you know me, and I know you, and I and we talk, you know, offline all the time. Even in 2015, how does it make you feel when we look at women and they're still marking us as dark skin and light skin? Because you know they just had that on their own channel.
Yes.
How does that
yes.
make you feel?
It irritates me. It irritates me to no end because I don't think my skin color should make me any less valuable or any more valuable than anyone else. It should be my character and my work ethic that allows me to advance. I think it's trifling that we still are having this conversation about skin color within the culture and just race in general. And then as far as being a woman, you know, the president had his union of the State of the Union address the other day. And
mm-hmm.
when he was talking about equal pay for equal work, the Republican side sat while the Democratic side stood up. And I
right.
remember looking at that and thinking, how sad is that, that in 2015, the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
we can't all agree that women should be paid for equal amount of work. And that's why we need to have continue to have stories like The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman and other feminist texts that deal with and talk about not only being oppressed because or not being paid for your value because you're a woman, but then the next level to that is not being paid your value because you're dark skin or you're light skin or you're not white enough or you're not dark enough. That's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And I know you and I, we've discussed this before, that we try to keep the political piece out of it because of who we are and what we represent, because we represent all people. But it still gets me, I mean, my hair just stood up on the back of my neck as I sit there and watch that they can
yeah.
sit there, not even, and everybody knows who the stone face was, no response, no reaction, no clap, no anything
yeah.
To that dialogue about a woman should get equal pay. And as women, as we got into the workforce, we always teach them, and I know that you do because you study women's history, about negotiation, about skills. And that's one of the other things that I love about you, Rebecca, is that you, on your platform, you talk and teach about how we can do it better and how we can do it right. So I applaud you for all that you do, and you are an inspiration to me. And I hope that
you.
Our listeners will actually get a chance to really get to know you. And even when I'm reading, because I do know you, I think about who you are and what this all means to you as I'm turning the pages of the book. So the other thing I want to talk about with The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman is being that it was during war times and she had to keep everything a secret, how did you determine how she would make it through those difficult times?
Well, I think that my muse, I've talked about this before, I do believe in the divine presence that gives you stories to tell. And I think as soon as I started writing the novel, which, by the way, I wrote during the National Novel Writing Month Contest for 2014.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I challenged myself again because it was the only time I had to write it. It's the only time. And, you know, when stories come to you, you know, these two stories, Murder on Second Street and Lucy Bossman, I mean, I sat on those stories for a while. Lucy, I sat on for almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when the opportunity comes to be able to write, to challenge yourself, you have to do it. And I felt like I had to enter that contest because it was the only way I was going to get this story done, because I have so many other stories trying to get out.
Right, absolutely.
So it's not – what I wanted to do was I wanted to make sure that with this particular story – that we see her, even though the forces around her may force her to make a decision that she maybe may not have otherwise thought of, it's actually the perfect decision for her. Because the other story that's not told is how women, in fact, helped to settle the West. You know, hopefully I'm not giving the story away. But
mm-hmm.
I wanted to create a character that had the opportunity to be more, even more. So what this one place, you know, she's coming from two places that didn't give her the opportunity. And I wanted to make sure that I created a story where we see hope and opportunity. Because that is the story of women in this country, hope and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
we've always held on to that and made sure that we pass it along and continue to fight for it. And I want that. I wanted my muse insisted that that character have an opportunity to keep moving forward. I think it was only fair for that particular character to be able to do that, because what's the point in telling the story if she, you know, if you have her perish? Maybe it could have worked in some other situation. You know, I could have put her in the middle of a war battlefield and had that happen. But I just wanted to show how this woman is going to be able to move forward. And I hope that that encourages readers and women, modern women today, to, you know, to do that. And a lot of people ask me, how come you had her go from Tennessee to Richmond, Virginia? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if you paid attention, it's because she had property available to her. And
right.
It's all about going after what belongs to you. And I've had readers tell me that they this character resonates with them because she's a survivor and they feel like they are a survivor. So that's the thing that kind of keeps readers with it, because they can see themselves in her, even though she's a, you know, a century ago, 100 years plus ago. Readers still see in this character something in themselves, which is the will to survive no matter what the world says about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for that character.
Absolutely. And one of the things I want our readers and anybody that's listening that's going to get the book, I encourage you to have an open mind about this. Because sometimes when we're reading, all our everyday stuff can kind of block what's really going on in the book. And as they're reading the story and the character starts to develop, if they really get into it and really have an open mind, they're really going to see some of themselves in the book. I don't care who you are.
Yes.
And especially
yes.
if you're a woman who wants to rise above whatever situation that you're in. So
right.
please read the book with an open mind. It is entertainment, of course, but it's also based on how we as women can overcome the obstacles and how we still have to battle and to get where we want to go. And the other thing is overcoming fear. So I'm trying not to tell too much because I'm already
yeah.
right.
I can tell. It's about
know,
something
like,
too. Yeah, it's about all that.
You know, you know,
yeah.
I, yes. Because you know she's afraid, but she has to do what she
walk
has
through that
to
fear.
Do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's
yes.
what we have to do each and every day. And, of course, everybody knows it was Martin Luther King's birthday, you know, celebration this
right.
past weekend. And I love the one saying about having faith is, you know, to step out on faith, even when you don't
yes.
know what the next step is going to bring. And this is the perfect time for this book to come out. Rebecca, I am so excited for you. I really am. And the other thing I want to just touch on, when we are teaching our children about our history, I'm concerned because
mm-hmm.
some people don't teach their children about the civil rights movement or anything
right.
before that.
Mm-hmm.
So our children are like, what are you talking about? You marched
yes.
somewhere.
Well, that's why I love, yeah, that's why I love historic fiction, because historic
uh-huh.
fiction can is both educational and entertaining. So if you can create a fictional character and put them in a real time period, whether it's Civil War or World War One or Vietnam, or whatever, but still make it a story that is relatable to what's going on today, students
mm-hmm.
will read it. But the thing is, you've got to get it in front of them. And a lot of people
right.
don't even know that there's a genre called historic fiction. They're
mm-hmm.
like, what's that?
I know.
It's another way
goodness.
Of teaching. Yeah, it's another way of teaching. But, you know, again, how do we get the product in front of students so that they don't go, oh, I got to read another history book. No, this is historic fiction. So as you're reading this work of quote-unquote fiction, you're learning about some history. And the one thing I can see a lot of people have said about both of my historic fiction novels is that they don't know where the history ends and fiction begins. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
a great compliment, because I really wanted to bring you to this period, put you there with this character so you could see what life was really like in many instances
mm-hmm.
for people during that time. Because when you can relate, then you are more compassionate, you are more open-minded, and you're more willing to serve.
Absolutely. So, again, I say, get the book. I'm not even going to tell you. Because sometimes when we do the interviews, we want to talk, you know, tell all the stuff that
yeah.
we read. But then I was like, then that's not fair. Because, you know, they get an overview, and they was like, oh, I heard it all on the radio program. But tonight, I tricked them. I'm like, you have to go read what I'm talking about. So
yes.
You have to read about the journey. You're going to have to read about step out on faith. You're going to have to read about the fear. And then at the end of it, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness. You know, you know, I can now possibly talk to it about, talk to the story to someone else, even if it's, if it's not a child, but maybe one of your coworkers who might not fully understand what you have been speaking about when we speak each and every day. Because I believe, Rebecca, as we walk through the life that we have been ordained, that we speak our own truth if we're truthful. And then we have those, again, who hide behind and the persona and the fakeness and no authenticity at all, you know. So when other when people meet us, they don't really know how to take us. They're not sure if you're that fake person or is this, you
or
know,
the real
person. down to earth, you know, just a good person with an open heart. So I think if we don't know our history, which is really sad, if we don't know where we came from, and I don't know who the quote you might remember, we don't know where we came from, we surely can't know where we're going.
Absolutely,
you know?
And that's what this character, I think she's so important because, you know, I had somebody say, oh, she's a traitor. No, 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 you don't understand. Lucy knows what the law says about women. She knows what the law says about colored folks. And she is one of the few people that can find, that has a way to usurp that. And so it's almost like tricking the trickster. You know, I'm gonna get what belongs to me, but I'm gonna let you think what I am. And I think that that's not being a traitor. That's kind of like what Frederick Douglass hinted at, and what James Weldon Johnson hinted at is that you have to use the cards that are dealt to you. And with this character, she does not betray her people. And if you read it, you'll find out just what she tries to do and what she does do to, in fact, help move her people along. You've got to use what you have in order to get. And she does
Absolutely. And she does. So I'm going to, again, encourage everyone to go and get the book. Now, anybody that knows Miss Rebecca, there might be something else coming along, so I'm not going to shed any light on anything that she might not want me to be putting out there to the atmosphere. But I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Rebecca, the old commercials, and I don't advocate smoking at all, but the old commercials where the women would be down in, like, the basement or wherever, smoking a cigarette and talking smack.
Do you
remember those?
I do,
And I when I'm into history, I kind of I take myself back to if I was in that time.
Right.
Which character would I be and how would I be? I know, girlfriend, I would be one of them ones down in the basement with a cigarette.
talking a whole bunch of trash.
I know, just acting up. And but it is so fascinating. I am so thrilled for you. I am pleased every time I see something from Amazon about you. And do you want to share what Amazon did today?
Wow. I was stunned to see that. They've done it with Murder on Second Street a couple times, but I don't know how Amazon selects which books to send out to readers saying you might be interested in reading this book. But I got an email today. And ironically, I didn't pay attention to the title, which does say The Secret Life of Lucy Bosman. But all I saw was Amazon.com. And I clicked on it, and there it is, the first book on the list of recommended books to read in my genre, in that genre, historic fiction, was The Secret Life of Lucy Bosman. So I was like, what?
Isn't it amazing? It is so wonderful. And, you know, and I get to say, I actually know the author. Yes. I am just so thrilled for you, Rebecca. And, you know, I'm going to have you back on. I know that you have some book signings coming up, so you want to share that with our audience?
Yes, I have.
The
first book signing is February the 7th in Mechanicsville, Virginia, at Books, Beads, and More. You can Google them, Books, Beads, and More. It's a small independent bookstore. I'll be there from 1 to 3 signing copies of the book. Books will be available, but if you have a copy of the book, by all means, please come down and I'll sign it for you. take a picture with you if you'd like, or whatever you'd like to do. And then I'm preparing to launch a big book launching party February the 21st here in Richmond at Umami's Coffee and Tea, which is owned by a woman of color. And I wanted to pair what my character does in the book, she's a baker, with an actual businesswoman who has a cafe, 21st
Wow.
Cafe. So I hope to be making that announcement soon. And then we're going to have a book signing in New York. I don't have a date yet, but we will be going to New York to have a book signing. So if anybody's listening and they want me to come to their state or whatever, you know, by all means, please send me an email. You can Google me. You'll see my email all over the place. And, you know, let me know.
Okay, great. Fantastic. And why don't you give them your email or however you would like for them to contact you? Because, you know, sometimes you don't hear people stuff. You tell them go to Google. They just sit there and look at it and go, well, I'm going to do that next week.
That's true. Well, actually, if you go to Rebecca L. Pierce, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, RebeccaLPierce.com, all the information, you know, I have the information on the website, or you could email me at editor@averagegirlmagazine.com, and you know, send me an email, and I'll be happy to chat with you. So again, that's editor@averagegirlmagazine.com.
Absolutely wonderful. So I want the listeners to know that anytime you can sit down, people know what you're doing, and how important it is that our history is shared, and if, like you said, if we can get it where people can share it with their children and coworkers and their other family members and get them talking, I'm all for it, you know. And I know you talked a little bit about your family and how I'm sure there will be questions being asked, you know, about, you know, your writing and different things. But can you share a little bit about your agency again, because somebody may have just tuned in, so I want them to know that you do have a business, and if they need help with their writing, how they can contact you.
Well, yes, they can. I'm sorry, my child is yelling in the background. But the Pierce Agency, you can go to the PierceAgencyLLC.com, and you can find out more about us there, about what we do. But again, our mission is to help aspiring and emerging writers and playwrights get their product ready for publication and or production on the stage. So we take you from the idea in your head to getting it on paper, to getting it into book format and putting it out on Amazon, and or to putting up a production in your local theater or out of state or festival contest, whatnot, and getting it ready for production. So I have a really awesome team of book design cover, book cover designers, website designers. I work with you extensively on brand and platform development, as well as story development. And we have some great books that we released. We just released our first children's book, Sparkalina Brights, by a teacher and author, Shana Bernabella. We're really excited about that book. It's called, again, Sparkalina Brights. If you have a kindergartner, a first grader, it is the perfect story for your child if they are struggling with being comfortable with who they are and what they love about themselves. And so, you know, we released two poetry books in 2014 that were bestsellers, and we have a memoir coming out that's going to be awesome, and we actually have two memoirs coming out. And, of course, we work with fiction authors. So we have a great team.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, Ms. Rebecca, our time has come to an end, and it always goes so quickly. We talked about doing an hour, but I thought maybe we would do the half an hour and then come back right after you do your book signings, and then have people be able to contact you in the Richmond area. And then by then, you'll probably have some more dates and some more things that you can share. So thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I really enjoyed
speaking with you. Thank you for having
me. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Anytime, you know, I'm all about it. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go check Miss Rebecca out on her Facebook page. She gave you the number where you could reach her.
Yes. And one more thing, I forgot. If you love the book, please tell your librarians to order that book. If you want to see this
book
into the hands of a lot of people, please ask your local librarian if they could order the book, and or your local bookstores, ask if they would put the book in their store. So definitely help us out.
Absolutely. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new year. It's a new beginning. So, So let's get out there and support each other, and I am thrilled. Thank you, Rebecca, and we'll be talking, you know, we talk all the time, but we'll be talking again, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed evening.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show with my special guest, Rebecca Pierce, from Richmond, Virginia. Please tune in next week for our next show, where we'll be discussing a wonderful topic. I'm not going to tell you tonight, but I will send it out on the Facebook page. God bless you all, and thanks for listening to the show.